title of the message today is When You Feel Jealous. When you feel jealous. Listen to Proverbs 27 and verse 4. It says, anger is cruel and fury overwhelming. So anger is something to deal with. Fury is something to deal with. But who can stand before jealousy? So jealousy is a powerful emotion. Envy is a powerful emotion. So by way of introduction, let me say this. The Bible mentions jealousy and envy in a couple of different ways. Because the Bible actually refers to God as being a jealous God. Deuteronomy 4 and verse 24 says this, "For the Lord your God is a consuming fire, a jealous God." Deuteronomy 32, verse 16 says this, "They made him," talking about the Lord, "they made him jealous with their foreign gods and angered him with their detestable idols." So when the Bible talks about God being jealous, it's because he wants all of you. He wants a relationship where you are 100% committed to him. You know, an idol is anything that gets between you and God. That can be a relationship, that can be finances, it could be a career, it could be anything. An idol is anything that gets between you and your relationship with the Lord. And so God is jealous in the sense when your attention, your attraction, your commitment is not on him, it's on something else. And so when the Bible talks about God being a jealous God, it's one of his attributes, but it means it in a positive way. And so theologically and biblically, we could say that there's a godly jealousy. It's much like pride, right? You can be proud of something or you can be proud of someone. We often might say to our kids or to someone, man, I'm really, really proud of you. Well, that's in a positive sense. But the Bible is very clear. God doesn't want us to be prideful. Pride, being prideful or being full of pride is a very serious and grievous thing that can keep you from knowing God. But you can see both sides of the coin. So we can take pride in something, take pride in your work, do it with excellence, have a strong work ethic, take pride in your children, pride in your family. But we're not talking about the negative side of pride there. And it's the same thing with jealousy. So when God is a jealous God, it means it in a good way, that he wants all of your heart. He wants this relationship and commitment with you, that you are so focused that you're not distracted by other things. Now, I think we've all struggled with jealousy. Now, this next verse uses a pretty strong word because God views our relationship with him in a very intimate way. And so in James 4, 4 to 6, he says this, "You adulterous people." And what he means here is that people aren't being faithful to him. They're not focused on him. And so he compares it to adultery, to the betrayal, the heart-aching, heart-wrenching aspect of betrayal. So he says, you adulterous people, don't you know that friendship with the world means enmity against God? And my dear brother and sister, I think we should take some verses a little more seriously sometimes. And so we're so casual about how we view the world and the things that we get caught up in and the things that we like and that we're excited about in the world. But God warns us of some things. Therefore, anyone who chooses to be a friend of the world becomes an enemy of God. Or do you think Scripture says without reason that he jealously longs for the Spirit he has caused to dwell in us? So this is the positive side of jealousy, where God longs for you to be completely committed to him. You're so in love with the Lord that you can't be distracted by other things. And so he longs for that. That's what it means. He jealously longs for the Spirit he has caused to dwell in us. But he gives us more grace. Say amen to that. So by God's grace, he gives us more grace. That is why the Scripture says God opposes the proud, but shows favor to the humble. And so God is longing for you to be 100% committed to him, where there are no other options in your life. Now, we all experience jealousy, and I'm going to define it this way. We all experience this, a painful awareness that others may have something or have some things that we don't have. You're human today, and so you look around or you notice that other people have stuff that you don't have. That could be talents. We tend to think, well, I'm not as talented as somebody else. I'm not as intelligent. I'm not as athletic. You might notice that you don't have the same talents. How about our physique? We look around and say, well, I don't have the same physique as somebody else, or I don't have the physique that I want. How about resources? Yeah, we look around and say, man, somebody else, why do they have a nice car? Why do they have a nice house to live in? And so it could be multiplicity of things. But it's this painful awareness that people have something that you don't have. And so you're very, very human. We take notice of those kinds of things. But here's the key about jealousy and envy. Jealousy and envy are feelings of resentment towards someone because they have something that you don't have. So you're very human. You're going to notice when somebody has a little more than you do. You're very human. You're going to notice that. And so you might have a feeling of pain, like, oh, they got it. I don't. But the question is, how are you going to respond to that? What are you going to do with that feeling? This is when it becomes a problem, where jealousy and envy then become a feeling of resentment toward the person because they have something that you don't have. So let me give you some more examples, okay? Money would be a big one. Okay? You may not feel like you have as much money as somebody else. And you might notice that, but if you start resenting someone, then there might be a problem of jealousy or being envious. How about power? Some people just have great power and influence. You might feel a little jealous. What if they've gotten some awards or some achievements or accomplishment? How about just good looks? Man, why are they so good looking? But you actually kind of resent them because they have such good hair. They have such good eyes. They really look good, right? Talents, I've already said. How about abilities? What about intelligence? You could feel very inferior and very jealous that somebody just has a keen intelligence. If you're in school and you're struggling in a subject, you'll notice the kids that accelerate. But the question is, do you resent those people? Are you struggling with that? How about education? You might be jealous of the person that had the opportunity, that got to go to a school because they had the finances and you didn't. Or they had those open doors that you did. Jealousy, resentment can set in. How about a promotion? Somebody at work gets promoted. Somebody in church gets promoted, but you've been working the same job for years. That level of frustration, but jealousy, again, you're aware, but does it turn to resentment? How about athleticism? You notice that some people tend to really excel at those things. And so these are examples of jealousy. So I want to take a few minutes and just talk about some of the root causes of jealousy. And then I want to submit some steps to you to help overcome jealousy. Okay? So we'll develop it. We'll talk about some of the root causes and then some practical steps that'll really help us. So what are the root causes? Okay, because we're very, very human, and all of us are broken. Thank God for Jesus. Amen. But you're human today, and so you have a proclivity for certain things that happen in your life just because of your humanity. But the key is how are you going to respond? Are you going to grow? Are you going to be healed? Are you going to become more whole in Christ and learn how to deal with that? So I was thinking and reflecting on this, and I want to give you four root causes. You might be able to think of more, but here are the ones that came up in my heart to deal with today. I believe that one of the root causes of jealousy is betrayal. If you've experienced betrayal in your life, then you might really struggle with jealousy. I remember doing some premarital counseling with a couple many, many years ago, and the girl really struggled with jealousy. She was always concerned that he was talking to somebody else or that he was thinking about somebody else. And they were deeply in love. They were wonderful for each other. They loved the Lord. And the more I talked to them, I found out that her dad had been unfaithful. Her dad had left. Her dad had abandoned them. And so this root cause of betrayal then She struggled then with jealousy for many, many years. If you have gone through any kind of betrayal in your life, that can be a root cause where then you struggle with jealousy, because it creates insecurity. It creates a mistrust. And you can follow the line of reasoning on that. Here's men in her life that are unfaithful. So now the man in her life, she's afraid that he might be unfaithful. And so betrayal is deep. Now, if a man is flirting, that's a separate issue and very, very wrong. Okay? But in this case, I don't think he really was flirting in any way. Let me say this as a footnote. My dear brother and sister, you shouldn't, if you're married, you shouldn't be flirting with anybody. Say amen to that. There shouldn't be any inappropriate conversation. You should not be sharing things with somebody of the opposite gender that you should only be sharing with your spouse. So be aware of that. It's amazing how some of the convictions, how many Christians have lost a sense of conviction because they've been so influenced by the world. And so that is, for sure, that's a serious and separate issue. But in the case that I shared with you, that I don't think this guy was flirting in any way. It was really a deep-seated fear. And we talked about it and we prayed about it. But betrayal is deep, is very, very hurtful. So I see betrayal then, it can create jealousy, which really leads to covetousness. Now, the word covet is a biblical word. It's a theological word. But coveting something, don't forget, coveting is one of the Ten Commandments. I said don't covet. So what is coveting? I only have time to define it very quickly. But I'll say that coveting is this, is to be consumed with desire for what someone else has. So when the Lord says don't covet somebody else's wife, jealousy has come in where they are consumed with having what somebody else has. Okay. So that can be a person, but it can also be money. It can be finances where that feeling of pain that you don't have and they have, it turns to resentment. And now it turns to covetousness where you're consumed with this resentment that's controlling and dominating your life. There's a lot we could say about covetousness is a dangerous thing, but it's a biblical word that we should be aware of. Now part of being covetous, if you're struggling with covet, coveting something in your life, what you're saying, there's a part of you that's saying it's not fair. So bring that into your reality a little bit, because here's what we tend to do. When somebody has something, you begin to say, that's not fair. It's not fair that they have all the money. It's not fair that they have all the opportunities. It's not fair that they're happy. It's not fair. I was thinking about this and reflecting on it. That's actually communism. It's actually communism is what that is. Oh, it's not fair, so let's try to make everybody equal. You're not going to be equal with everybody. You got to get to a place where you are really at peace and joyful and happy with who God made you to be. And so an outside force can't create some sort of kind of fix a situation because you have this feeling that something isn't fair. But that feeling, if you have that, you got to go to the Lord on that. You got to get some healing and some breakthrough. So let me give you some scriptures. Proverbs 11, verse 3 says this, "The integrity of the upright guides them, but the unfaithful," so somebody who's unfaithful, is betrayed, right? "But the unfaithful are destroyed by their duplicity." So when somebody's unfaithful, they're duplicitous. And notice this, that betrayal affects everybody around them. It doesn't just affect the person, but affects the person they betrayed, and it affects everybody around them. Let me say this as a footnote. My brother and sister, everybody tell me you love me for a moment. Just tell me you love me, okay? Your sin doesn't just affect you, it affects everybody around you. It really does. And so duplicitousness is a painful thing. It's a dangerous thing, but integrity, the quality of being whole, the integrity of the upright guides them. Okay, so betrayal, duplicity affects a person, but it affects people around. And so it can create this void, which I'm going to talk about in a moment, this gnawing in your heart that you feel like has to be filled. You're not complete, you're not whole, and so there's a jealousy there. Here's 1 Corinthians 13:4. I know we quoted this at our wedding. I often incorporate this in a wedding ceremony. Love is patient, love is kind. It does not envy. I think the New Living Translation uses the word jealousy. It's a synonym. So it doesn't envy. Love isn't jealous. Love isn't envious. It does not boast. It is not proud. You know, when you really, really have experienced God's love and you really love someone else, you're completely secure. I am confident today. I'm not worried about my wife in any way. She loves me. She loves me with all of my messiness, with all of my humanity. She loves me, accepting of me. I'm not worried or jealous of anything that she's going to be talking to somebody inappropriately or acting inappropriately. I've got her. She's all mine. She's all mine. I love her. She loves me. So there's no concern of jealousy. Say amen to that. Okay, now multiply that by a million times and you got this sense of the Lord who loves you so much and cares for you so much. And so betrayal is a terrible thing, but when you begin to see the prescription is being rooted in His love. Here's another one that I think is a root cause of jealousy, insecurity. It's being insecure. Have you ever noticed some people might be jealous of you, but it's really because they're insecure? Or you might be jealous, but it's really because you're insecure. What do we mean by this? Well, Psalm 30, verse 6 says, "When I felt secure, I said, I will never be shaken." When you're secure, you can't be shaken. You know who you are. You know what God has done in your life. You're very secure in that. And so insecurity, when I say insecurity, I would drill down on this and say very specifically that you're insecure in your own identity. You really don't have a complete revelation of who you are as a child of God and what God wants you to do. So there's an insecurity. In other words, you have this void deep inside of yourself that hasn't been completely filled and healed by the Lord. And so there's this gnawing sense of jealousy. And so what are you doing? You're jealous. So you're trying to fill that void. That's what's trying to happen. You're trying to fill the void, but it manifests itself in jealousy. That's a terrible place to be. I don't like it when I'm insecure. And I don't like it when I have thoughts and feelings of jealousy. I start feeling jealous of somebody else. But I know a lot of times the root cause is my insecurity. I don't have a real revelation of who I am as a child of God. Listen to Galatians 3:26. So in Christ Jesus, you're all children of God through faith. So if you struggle with jealousy, when I've struggled with jealousy, I've just had to go to the Lord and say, God, give me a greater revelation of who I am as a child of God. Now you tie that verse to Romans 2:11. For God does not show favoritism. So if your feelings are raging against you, you say, well, I feel jealous. This is your scripture. God, Lord, you're my dad, you're my daddy, you're my father. You do not show favoritism. That's your scripture you got to pray into. Because He loves you. You're His child. He's got great things for you. How many people know God can bless everybody? He's not just handing out a few blessings to certain people or a favor to certain people. He's blessing There's favor for all of us. Amen? So that's your scripture you got to pray for, that you're so secure in God's love and this aspect that He doesn't show favoritism. And so you don't have to fall into the trap of comparison and being jealous. Here's another root cause is misplaced values. Misplaced values. In other words, you desperately need other people's approval. And so you've misplaced your value in them. Now, there's a level where we all you know, we want our boss's approval or our spouse's approval, but you know, that is a certain level. But I'm talking about a deeper thing where there's this deep need in you where you've got to have everybody's approval to the point where you compromise things, to the point where you feel so bad about yourself that you feel jealous of them. And so that's an inappropriate, misplaced value. Your value should be completely on the Lord and understand who you are. So to be honest with you, sometimes we have put too much value on the opinions of other people. We have put too much value on what other people think about us instead of really being comfortable with who we are before the Lord. And so may the Lord help us in this. How about this? Another misplaced value would be finding value in stuff or in your own performance. So if you're performance driven and you're not performing well, you feel bad about yourself, so you start comparing yourself to everybody else and you feel really bad and you feel jealous. Because they're smarter, they're more successful, their business has taken off, God's using them in the ministry, but there's something in you. You struggle with jealousy, but it's really a misplaced value. It's a misplaced value in your own performance, and God doesn't want you to live your life based on performance. He doesn't want you to live your life based, your relationship with Him based on performance. Not at all. He wants you to really embrace grace, to really embrace that He makes up the difference in your life. This is out of the Contemporary English Version, Galatians 1, verse 10. I'm not trying to please people. I want to please God. I think sometimes we've struggled with pleasing people too much. Do you think I'm trying to please people? If I were doing that, I would not be a servant of Christ. So sometimes we try to please other people way too much. I'm not saying not to be kind. I'm not saying that you don't try to work hard and get the approval of your boss. You know, that's a whole nother topic, right? I'm talking about this sense where we're trying to get people's approval to the point where it's a misplaced value. A fourth cause that I think of jealousy is simply discontentment. It's discontentment in life. It's a lack of satisfaction. And so there's something in you where you just don't feel satisfied about things in your life. So Hebrews 13 and verse 5, you got to just follow the admonition of the Word. It says this, keep your lives free from the love of money and be content with what you have. Because God has said, never will I leave you, never will I forsake you. Notice how the promise is, I'm not going to leave you. I'm not going to forsake you. I don't show favoritism. I love you. I'm going to provide for you, God says, right? So keep yourself free from the love of money and pray for contentment, that you are content. We're going to get back to this. But it's a sense of just being dissatisfied, a discontentment. And so many people are jealous because they haven't got the breakthrough in their relationship with the Lord and some of these things that are vying and pulling for their attention. So those are some root causes of jealousy. Maybe you can think of more, but I think that as I was meditating and praying on this, I feel like those are four things that we really need to be aware of. So let me give you some steps to help overcome jealousy. And I know that every single person in here has struggled with jealousy at one time or another because you're human. There are feelings that come to you. So what are some things that we can work on? What are some things that we can do to redirect and really start getting a breakthrough in these areas, okay? Number one, you got to find your delight in the Lord. You got to find your delight in the Lord. If you're struggling with jealousy in any kind of way, you got to go to the Lord and say, God, I really want to find my delight in the Lord. What does the word delight mean? The word delight means your pleasure. Your pleasure in the Lord, your satisfaction in the Lord, right? You know, I hope it's okay if I'm honest. But just to like touch on some things, but like let's say you're really not happy with your husband or your wife. You're just not happy with the way things are going, right? there would be a tendency to be jealous. Oh, do I need somebody else? Is there somebody better? Okay, these are real things that, people could go through in their minds. But what the Lord is saying, hey, number one, you got to delight yourself in me so that you can begin to turn around and see what God has blessed you with. So you have to delight yourself in the Lord. You have to take pleasure in the Lord. Here's what the Scripture says, right? The Scripture says in Psalm 37, verse 4, delight yourself in the Lord, and He'll give you the desires of your heart. Okay? That's at every level. The desire for your relationship with your spouse to be amazing. The desire for all of your relationship to just be incredible. But delight yourself first in the Lord, and then He'll give you the desires of your heart. Or maybe you have no relationship and you're longing for that relationship. You're struggling in your singleness. Delight yourself in the Lord and He'll give you the desires of your heart. And so what about other things? Things like money and a career and all of these things that we get distracted and we're working so hard to do, but we struggle with jealousy. And so the Lord would say, hey, come back. Delight yourself in me and then I'll give you the desires of your heart. But first, delight yourself in me. First, be so enraptured by the Lord. Be so enamored by the Lord. Be so focused on the Lord. Delight your pleasure, your satisfaction in Him. I promise you today that if you will delight yourself in the Lord, there'll be such peace, there'll be such joy in your life. And so if we're really honest, if we're courageous enough to say, you know what, I'm not satisfied or I'm not really feeling the completion in my heart, you got to go to the Lord. Let it drive you to the Lord instead of away from the Lord. Let it drive you on to your knees. Let it drive you into the heart of God to say, Lord, I got to delight myself in you. I got to go after you. And then He'll give you the desires of your heart. And you know what I've found? Is that sometimes those desires, they weren't what you really wanted anyway. I don't want to get ahead of myself, but sometimes we think money is the answer. I know you read the Bible and Ecclesiastes, there's even a little verse there that says money is the answer to all things. They're thinking, yeah, I read that in the Bible too. Right? And we'd all love to be millionaires or billionaires. But you know what? I've discovered that sometimes that is not even the answer. That isn't even really what I'm looking for. When you start delighting yourself in the Lord, you start realizing that there's much more that you were really longing for and had little to do with money. Say amen to that. I'll give you another example. I know we have little ears in here, so I'll just say it this way. But you know, humanity's drive for romance. Think about that. All over the world, people are, you know, there's a tremendous amount of energy and thoughts and money being spent for romance, right? But what is the real, is it really romance that you're looking for? No, what you're really looking for is the Lord. Because when you're really delighting yourself in Him, all of that passion, that's why the Lord even uses marriage as a picture. It's a picture of what your relationship with the Lord is going to be and ultimately going to be when you're in heaven. And so if you understood why the romance and the passion was there, and you understood, you know what, this passion is really to go after the Lord. And when you go after the Lord, you delight yourself in Him. And He says, you know what, now I'll give you the desires of your heart. And you'll find out, you know what, some of those things that you were going after really wasn't even what you were longing for. You were longing for Him. You were longing for that deep sense of love and connection in the Lord. It wasn't superficial. And so delight yourself in the Lord, and He'll give you the desires of your heart. And so that's one step. I would just encourage you, find your delight in the Lord. The second thing is discover your purpose. You know, it's deeply satisfying being in your purpose. And if you're struggling today, and I've been there, I've struggled with that many times, like what's my purpose? Or it doesn't really feel meaningful. But, you know, I have to be honest today. I'm very fulfilled in what I'm doing in life. I love my wife. I love my kids. I love seeing my kids begin to grow and launch out and to succeed in life. I love pastoring. I love walking this journey with you. I love teaching at Freedom Bible College. I love what we do in the nations and going to the nations. I wrap up all of those things together and I'm very fulfilled. I'm very satisfied. And some of you may not be called to the ministry, but you have a career and you have a vocation and you're very fulfilled and satisfied in that. And so if you're struggling today, you got to go to the Lord and say, God, really, what is my purpose? How do I connect my career and my family and all of the things that I'm involved in? How does that connect to eternal purpose? Because once that starts happening in your life, there's deep meaning and deep satisfaction. And then you wake up with a kick in your step. You wake up with motivation. You say, wow, I'm going to really enjoy life. Am I going to have ups and downs? Absolutely. But there's this deep sense of purpose. And so you got to discover your purpose. And some of you guys, you really got to go to the Lord in that prayer and say, Lord, what is my purpose? So find your delight in the Lord. Discover your purpose. Make that your prayer. Here's another one that I think has helped me. I hope that it helps you. Number three, focus on who you are and what you have. Focus on who you are and what you have. In other words, stop comparing yourself. Every one of us, there isn't a person in here that hasn't struggled with comparison. You say, how could you be so confident? Because you're human. That's what people do. We compare ourselves to other people. And so what you have to start doing is you got to make a strong decision. Say, you know what, I'm going to focus on who I am and I'm going to focus on what I have. I have discovered this, that when I focus on who I am and what I have, then I'm not as jealous because I'm not comparing myself to other people. I'm not comparing myself to other situations. I'm not comparing myself. Even if I'm going through a financially difficult time, I say, man, I have an amazing wife. I have an amazing family. I am so blessed. And you start focusing on that. You start focusing on who you are as a kid, who you are as a child of God. Maybe you should just pull out some pictures of some great memories and say, wow, I've lived a good life. I'll bet it's better than you've given yourself credit for. Say amen to that. Now here's what 2 Peter 1:3 says. His divine power has given us everything we need. Someone say everything.
Everything.
Hey, not something, everything. His divine power has given us everything we need for a godly life through our knowledge of Him who called us by His own glory and goodness. It's through the knowledge of Him. It's through the knowledge of what He has done for you. It's through the knowledge of God's love for you. It's through the knowledge of what Jesus has accomplished for you. And so this idea of understanding who you are as a child of God and what God has blessed you with. But you got to go to the Word and find out who you are as a child of God and what He's blessed you with. The peace that He's given you, the healing that He's given you, the provision, all of the blessings of the covenant, His divine power, everything. Let's say that again. Say everything we need. Okay? So it's not just spiritual things. These are very real things for your relationships. Very real things to provide for your children so you can put them in activities, so you can send them to a good school. It's everything. It's everything. It's having a nice meal once in a while and not just living on ramen noodles. Someone say everything, right? Everything we need for a godly life. But it's through your knowledge of Him. And the Bible says we're destroyed because of our lack of knowledge, because of our ignorance. We really don't know what God has provided for us and what He's done for us. And so you focus on who you are and what you have. When I sit there and I start focusing on my family and I start focusing on our church and I start focusing on what God has called me to do, I'm very, very fulfilled. But if I start looking out, there's a delicate balance. I don't want to get ahead of myself. There's a delicate balance between being inspired by somebody or something else versus comparing yourself to them. Because if you fall into the trap of comparison, you feel inferior, you feel less than, you don't feel like you're measuring up. So you fall into this terrible trap of comparison. That's different than being inspired. You can be inspired, but I think most of our comparison is not inspiration. In any way, it creates inferiority. It makes us feel less than. And so we need to focus on who we are and what we have. So the thing is that all of this can creep in to your life. Just because you're born again, just because you're a new creation, doesn't mean that you didn't bring some of that baggage in. And you got to renew your mind to the fact that you're His child and God wants to bless you. So focus on who you are and what you have. I can say that with confidence because that's what the Bible said. And you might be here today and say, well, you don't know my situation. I don't have anything good. I'll bet we can find something good. I'll bet the Holy Spirit can show you something good. Say amen to that and tell me you love me. All right, now, the fourth thing is this. The fourth step I would encourage you to pursue is an attitude of gratitude. Okay, really, an attitude of gratitude is the secret to being content in life. So we said one of the root causes of jealousy is that you're discontent. So you start looking around, you have this painful feeling, you start feeling jealous. And so, but if you're focusing on who you are as a child of God and you're focusing on what God has blessed you with, now you begin to have an attitude of gratitude. That really is the secret to being content. My brother and sister, I've been in some of the most poverty-stricken nations in the world. I grew up with poverty around me, in abject poverty. If people had a job, they maybe got a dollar a day, if they had a job. I had friends that would go 3-4 days without eating sometimes. I lived within just abject poverty. I understand the intensity of being in that kind of situation. But do you know that where I grew up, those are some of the happiest people I've ever seen in my life? There's a resilience. There's a joy. Because they know how to look for their joy in the Lord. My brother and sister, we're really weak in this area. We are really weak in this area. So I've been in some of the poorest and most poverty-stricken places in the world. And yet I've seen people have more joy than people here that have all kinds of stuff. Someone say, help me, Jesus. Yeah. And so I want to read to you. I want to read to you Philippians 4, 10 to 13. I want to put it up on the screen. But I want to read this out of the Living Bible. It's in the Living. I think we have it there. Here, so follow along with me. This is how the Living Bible, very refreshing. I know most of you have it memorized. But I want to read it in the Living Bible. Very, very refreshing. How grateful I am. Someone say an attitude of gratitude. How grateful I am and how I praise the Lord that you're helping me again. I know you always have been anxious to send me what you could, but for a while you didn't have the chance. Now, not that I was ever in need, for I have learned. And by the way, notice he learned it. It doesn't just happen. You learn this stuff. You learn to mature. You learn to walk with the Lord. I've learned how to get along happily, whether I have much or little. Someone say, help me, Jesus. Whether you have a lot or little, I know how to live on almost nothing. Sounds like my parents, who are experts at living on Social Security, experts on living within their means, experts. And they keep telling me how rich they are, but I know their finances. Because they've learned the secret of being content in any and every situation. I've learned the secret of contentment in every situation, whether it be a full stomach or hunger. I've been in some of the poorest areas of the world, inner city, and just seen people worship the Lord with such freedom and abandon and the joy of the Lord. Whether it be a full stomach or hunger, plenty or want, for I can do everything. I think we should say that word again. Say everything. I can do everything. So he provides everything, and you can do everything. God asked me to do with the help of Christ, who gives me the strength and the power. So you can do this. You can be content. You can give the praise to the Lord. You can do this. You got the power. By the power of the Holy Spirit, you can learn, and you got to learn it, but you can learn contentment. You can learn to have an attitude of gratitude. So what we tend to do is we always tend to look and say, man, I need more. I don't have enough. I need this or I need that. So human, so human. Then you get to that level and then you need a little more. Then you need a little more. You got to have an attitude of gratitude and say, man, thank you, Jesus, for what you have blessed me with. Thank you. Really, seriously, thank Him that you've got food to eat today, that you have a house to stay in, that you have a car to drive in, that God has given you so many opportunities in life. Just an attitude of gratitude. If you have an attitude of gratitude, you'll be dancing your way to success. You'll have joy in your heart. You'll have a lightness to your step. You'll have happiness hit your life if we'll just have an attitude of gratitude. And God can give you that kind of worldview and that kind of biblical stability in your life. But you do have to learn it. It doesn't just happen. In fact, I would say the opposite is really the case. You tend in your humanity to complain. I mean, most of us, right? If we're really honest, we have an attitude of complaining. It doesn't rhyme. But an attitude of gratitude is what you need. Amen? Most of us, we have an attitude of complaining. And maybe I'm just preaching to myself, but it is the truth. Amen? And so I would say, ask the Lord to help you to give you an attitude of gratitude. The fifth one and the last one is this. Stay in your domain. Okay, so this has a little bit to do with this idea of comparing other people and wanting to have what they have. But if you focus on who you are and what God has given you, just stay in your domain. Okay, now I'm going to give you a verse here that I think you'll enjoy. This is 2 Corinthians 10, 12 to 13. I've chosen to put it up in the NASB. Okay, so he says this, "For we do not presume to rank or compare ourselves with some of those who commend themselves." Okay, so Paul is saying, man, we don't want to compare. You, my brother and sister, you don't want to compare yourself to other people, right? "But when they measure themselves by themselves and compare themselves with themselves, they have no understanding." Okay? Now, this word measure is the Greek word metron. And metron is a measuring standard. Okay? It's like a measuring stick. "But we will not boast beyond our measure, but within the measure of the domain which God has assigned to us as a measure to reach even as far as you." Now, the NIV, instead of using the word domain, uses the word field. So if that helps you, the visual of, okay, you have a field or you have land. You know, he says, stay within your land, stay within your boundaries. Don't encroach on your neighbor's boundary. Stay within your field, okay? Another translation, the New King James, uses the word sphere. So this sphere of influence, the sphere of your life, the domain. Stay within your domain. And if you focus on your domain and what God has given you and who you are, you're going to be much more satisfied, because if you start looking outside your domain, you're going to be unfulfilled. So a simple illustration. If I go visit another church, I don't act like the pastor. I don't act like a pastor there. But when I'm here, this is our field. This is our domain. And so my calling and my role is to be a shepherd. And hopefully you like that. And at least you're sitting here long enough to listen to this message, right? But if I go visit, I don't step outside my sphere of influence or my domain, or step onto another piece of property or field. That's what Paul's saying here. But he's saying to the Corinthians, he's saying, you know what? You are my field. You're my domain. And so he speaks to them very, very authoritatively. But this word metron is this idea of measurement. It's a standard of measurement. So what God is saying is, he says, focus on your domain. In other words, quit measuring and comparing yourself to the outside domain. So I could look around to other churches and see what they're doing. And I could think, oh, well, why aren't we doing that? Or why don't we have a building yet? Or why don't we have land yet? And I could be measuring my standard according to that standard. That's never a good thing to do. And you can apply it to every area of your life. That just happens to be my life. And so the times that I've done that, I feel really bad. Think, man, why don't we have land? Or why haven't we done this yet? Or why haven't we done that? And then I start comparing. By the way, I just as a point of truth, I've discovered this, that it's not always what it's cracked up to be. Just like your friend's social media page isn't always what it's cracked up to be. Say amen to that. Just like your friend's Instagram isn't exactly what it's all cracked up to be. If you go over there or look at the picture or find out what it was really like, you can frame a picture in a certain way, right? But if you fall into that trap, it's gnawing. It's terrible. It's unfulfilling, okay? So the admonition here is to not measure ourselves outside of our domain. Now, once you focus on your domain, your family, your calling, your career, your ministry, okay, and you quit falling into that trap, you're going to be fulfilled. Now, watch this. Then God will fill that place in your life with His presence, His power, His love, His blessing, and there'll be increase. So most of you have Luke 6:38 memorized, but let's read it. Here it is. I'll give it to you in the NASB. Give, and it will be given to you. They will pour into your lap a good measure. Metron. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over, for by your standard of measure, it will be measured to you in return. Now, we talk about that in giving, releasing grace to somebody, releasing forgiveness, releasing finances, but you're giving, and that's your measure. But think of it as a metron. This is your domain. This is your field. You're focusing on that, and you're fulfilled in that. So the Lord just keeps blessing, packing it down, packing it down, packing it down, till you're fulfilled and running over. And then you know what? If He wants to increase the metron, He'll do it when and how He wants to increase the metron. And so you focus on the domain. You focus on the field. You focus on the sphere. I've discovered that when my eyes are outside of my domain, outside of my sphere, that I start having this gnawing sense that it's not enough. I feel inferior. And then what do? I start feeling jealous of other people. I really think that will help us. And so those five things I would just submit to you today. If you're struggling with jealousy, go to the Lord. Say, God, I want to find my delight in You. Secondly, say, God, I got to discover my purpose. There must be something I'm not quite getting about my purpose. So show me why I have this job right now. What's my assignment? Why I'm in this situation? Ask Him what the purpose is. Then focus on who you are as a kid in the Lord, as a child of God, and what you have instead of what everybody else has. Ask the Lord to help you have an attitude of gratitude, and then stay in your domain. Stay in your domain and measure the metron with the metron, and you'll see that He'll pack down His presence, His peace, His power, His joy. You'll be content no matter what the situation, because your measurement, your metron, is in your domain. And I think it'll rip away jealousy in your life. Can you say amen? So I conclude with this. I say this prophetically. I say this with confidence. Jesus wants to pour His love into your heart so that you'll be absolutely secure in who you are as a child of God. Yeah, He wants you to be secure. It happens with His love being poured into your heart. So you're so secure in Him. You're not worried about other people. You don't have any misplaced values. You're not trying to please them. Whether you have or you don't have, you're just so relaxed and confident and at peace in who you are. That comes from His love. And so you don't fall into this trap of jealousy. Amen? Let's stand to our feet today. Let's stand to our feet.